You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company ahead of the second major championship of the golfing season. The USPGA starts on Thursday. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall, ready to take you through all the betting and all the storylines ahead of the second major championship of the season at Bethpage Black. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to this week. I think that it's going to provide plenty of entertainment. And with Tiger Woods winning the Masters, I think the wider sporting world are up for another major championship as well at this juncture.
Yeah, I think so. I think that definitely helps the USPGA that Tiger's up for another one and straight after his previous one. And if he wins this one, the Grand Slam is still on in theory. And then we go to Pebble Beach where he won by 15 once. So yeah, exciting.
Let me spin you through the betting for the USPGA Championship 2019 here with William Hill. 10-1 Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson 11-1, Rory McIlroy is 12s, Tiger Woods 12-1, John Rahm is 18-1, Justin Rose is 20s, Jason Day and Ricky Fowler both 22-1, 28-1 Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, and it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. And if you bet £10 on the tournament winner here at William Hill, you get a £10 free bet every time they make an eagle, which won't be too often, I don't think, unfortunately, on this golf course.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
That's the concession with William Hill ahead of the USPGA Championship this week. What do you make to the change in the schedule then? The PGA of America must be delighted because, as mentioned, with Tiger Woods winning the first, his quest for his 16th, and given he's not played since Augusta either, he is the main storyline in the lead-up to the championship. The only negative is the weather, really, in the build-up at Bethpage Black in Long Island, because it's been torrential, the rainfall, and it's softened up this golf course.
Yeah, they sort of can't have everything perfect, can they, I guess? Mother Nature not helping there. But I think it stands out a little bit more because some of the events like leading up to it haven't been that good, have they, really? Or the fields have been weak. I mean, some players, Tiger, haven't even bothered to play in anything between the two. So previously, obviously, it's bolted onto the back of a WGC and it's just like, here we go again. It's just like another one. So, yeah, it helps it a little bit, I think. Although, to me, it still feels like a WGC just sort of thrown in. Here's another one.
Oh, do you think so? I've got that major feel this week, actually. Yeah, I have.
I think the course helps it. The fact that we associate Bethpage Black kind of, well, I know it's been used for the playoffs, but we still think of that US Open. It's got some gravitas, hasn't it? So it's not just a sort of random course they're on. It's one that we think of as a major course.
It's a bit of a monster, Bethpage Black, the black course anyway, because it measures around about 7,500 yards and it plays to a par of 70 this week as well. So very long golf course. And as you mentioned, as well as hosting the US Open in 2002, hosted in 2009 when Lucas Glover won in very wet conditions. And the Barclays tournament was here in 2012 and 2016. And it's an A.W. Tillinghast design, and it's one that Rhys Jones has worked on as well. Tillinghast was responsible for Ridgewood, which hosted the Barclays in 08, 2010 and 2014, and the Northern Trust in 2018. So there's plenty of form for punters to peruse ahead of the week.
Yeah, just a slightly devil's advocate, because I might be trying to sort of defeat my own reasoning later, but is it a very long golf? Is 7,400 and a bit very long, or is it just quite long?
It is for a par 70, I think.
Right.
If it played to a par of 71 or 72, it wouldn't be a long golf course, but because you're trimming
but par's only a thing, though,
par
isn't it?
Is only a thing, and the winning total will probably be similar in terms of strokes taken as it was in the US Open and in the playoffs. So, yeah, shaving down par. I think it's going to play long this week because of the weather more than anything else, and
Because these days, sometimes you think 7,800 is very long.
Yeah,
and if they, because they've got the scope to move T's around, move them up as well here. It's just kind of to put it out there to people if they're thinking of backing not an obvious long hitter. I'd hate to come back and go, oh no, actually it wasn't that such a big a deal as it was.
I can only go with from what I've read in the lead up to the championship. And Ted Scott, who's not usually outspoken, but Watson's caddy, he came out after one of the practice rounds and said, "This is such a long golf course."
Yeah,
and he's Bubba Watson's caddy.
Yeah.
So if Bubba Watson's
Masters is always
the
Masters only big hitters can win, and sometimes it doesn't quite pan out, does it?
Yeah.
Maybe just the shorter guys, they've got to have everything spot on.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's going to be a bomber's paradise this week. That's just my initial feeling in the lead up to the event, and I'm willing to be proven wrong over the 4 days, but I'd be very surprised if you get an average or below average.
But do you therefore think you've got to hit it in the fairway or not?
I think the rough is patchy, isn't it? But if you stray too far offline...
Because obviously weather can increase its growing, doesn't it? If it's wet, it does make it the rough grow up faster.
Increases the width of the fairways, though, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, there's that, yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose you can look at it from both angles. To be fair, my two main selections are a couple of bombers, really. Yeah. What do you think are keys to success around this venue? I talked about the golf course having hosted the US Open a couple of times, the Barclays Championship in the past as well. Are you leaning on Tillinghast as a designer of specific types of golf courses? How did you approach this event?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. There's a bit of New York. I think this particular course, the two I've really looked at are a little bit similar there. Strokes gained tee to green, strokes gained approach. I think it's the long game, basically, that's going to decide the winner. I think you look at someone like Glover, fairly average putter, wasn't he? Certainly back then he was. Mm. So I think he won it with long game. And
I think he's below average, isn't he now? An average putter back then, I think he's...
Well, yeah. I think you can get away with sort of modest putting this week. I don't think it's... You know, it's obviously not a... as any course where it's not a birdie fest, but I think you do want long game. So I did look at ball striking and strokes gained tee to green as maybe above things like putting and scrambling, maybe.
Okay, I've got a couple of selections for the event.
Is that what you
I've looked at strokes gained off the tee, actually. I think putting the ball in position off the tee is going to be crucial this week, because I think if you stray too far from these fairways, there is that tall fescue grass. And I know the rough has been described as patchy in the lead-up to the championship, but with this wet weather, I think if you stray off the fairways, you're going to have difficult... to reach these greens. So
obviously ball striking is a measure of distance accuracy and irons, isn't it? So
and this championship in the past, we've had a number of first time winners, haven't we, in recent years. Jason Duffner broke his duck, Jimmy Walker, Justin Thomas as well recently.
Yeah, Keegan Bradley, first major we ever played.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And he won the Byron Nelson prior to that? I think he'd won a standard PGA Tour event.
Yeah, a lot of them had. 8 of the last 10 winners had won an event that season.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, so it used to be a big...
I suppose it comes at the end of the season.
Now because it's moved forward, but then some of those stats are based on before we got the wraparound season. So, you know, some of those players didn't have the chance to win maybe 8 or 10 events before Hawaii. So it balances out a little bit. So, but I still think it's a decent angle if you've had a win.
And not only those first-time winners, and you're talking about winning in the
same season as well.
Wai Yang
had won that season.
And he's one of those that have been real skinners in the past as well. It's been a championship where we've had some real shocks down the years as well.
Yeah, so, you know, as one particular strategy you could use, literally just look down to see who's won this year and then have a think about them and whether they might be a good fit.
Two picks for me.
I've got 3.
Okay, so it's a busy week for us.
Yeah, because I like some of William Hill's prices here, so I've gone for like 3 where we're best.
Okay.
And so, you know, I could probably have a long list of about 12, but these ones stood out because we're nice prices on them.
We'll get our selections, then we'll talk through some of the leading contenders as well. Dave, I'll let you kick off because I've just got 2.
Yeah, he's a bit of both, a leading contender and my selection. Ricky Fowler, 22s. We're top price on Ricky Fowler at 22s. I'm surprised he is 22s, to be honest, because I think he's fits everything that you want here. You mentioned distance. He's 30th in driving distance, which gets us off and running. Nice progressive form, 17th Texas Open, 9th Masters, 4th Quail Hollow, and I think there's some good correlation between Quail Hollow and here.
Yep.
So that looks really nice. As I say, he's won this season at Phoenix. One sort of X factor thing, looking beyond pure numbers. I think if you win in Phoenix, you're used to dealing with crowds who are giving it a bit of this. And New York crowds will absolutely go for you, won't they?
Yeah.
So the atmosphere will be very rowdy. I think Fowler loves playing in Phoenix. I think that just adds a few more percentage maybe to him. And he's got the course form. Although you look at the 2016 Barclays and think he was seventh. How did he get to seventh? Was it a backdoor seventh? No, he was 54-hole leader. So he had a really big week and just didn't get it done on the final day. He was 8th tee to green at Quail Hollow, so his long game is sharp coming in. And as you've said, it's a good major for the first time. So I thought lots of reason to think Ricky Fowler will. I know some people will go, oh, you know. But we've said that we've written off people, haven't we, before, saying they're never going to win one. And
yeah.
I just think this is a great opportunity for him to get it done.
Okay, Ricky Fowler at 22-1. Similar theme for mine. John Rahm, 18-1, looking for his first major championship. It won't be any surprise to anyone that's ever listened to this podcast that I've gone for John Rahm this week. But
have you told your dad to back him?
Not yet.
Or family members. Yeah.
He's a future world number one, in my opinion, the Spaniard. And he's just in rock-solid form. Tie for ninth at the Masters, was followed by that win alongside Ryan Palmer at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Are we classing that as a win? For this 8 of the last 10 have won in the lead up to the...
Yeah, you could say stroke.
What was the last major?
Yeah, you could. But the fact that he was so good in it, I think, has got to help, hasn't it? It's not just like he came along for the ride.
I'd hope so. He was the dominant member in that partnership with Ryan Palmer. And Rahm's main weapon is the driver. And as I've already mentioned, I think putting the ball in play will be key this week. He ranks second in strokes gained off the tee this season. And he just looks an obvious pick for me. His short game was in great shape at the Zurich Classic as well. And I think more importantly, his iron play showed significant improvement from what we saw at the Masters too. First win on tour came at Torrey Pines South Course, where Jason Day's won twice.
Yeah.
He's got a great record on Tillinghast Designs.
Poana as well in at the grass.
Poana mixed with bent grass, which he'll get this week. And he played on the west coast of America, obviously, when growing up, and he's talked about comfort levels putting on Poana. So that's got to be a positive as well. And I think given the length of the golf course and how we're looking for tee to green exponents this week, John Rahm leaps off the page to me at 18-1.
I actually like the fact, I think me and you were both on him at the Masters, but we kind of knew our fate quite early because he wasn't really on it, was he? So I thought for him to finish ninth there was quite a mature performance, because he could have sort of, you know, chucked the toys out of the pram, couldn't he, with some of those poor shots, and he battled away and got ninth. I thought if he can get ninth
without his air game
and he's not really on it at all, then as soon as he gets it back on, and I think there were signs that he was getting it right back with that pairs win at the Zurich. So I might have to have a few quid, to be honest, on him.
John Rahm, 18-1, my number one selection. A couple of points each way this week on the Spaniard. Dave Tindall.
Yeah, so quite a formulaic approach to this one, because I was looking at strokes gain approach and strokes gain tee to green, and I opened two browsers and had a look who's sort of high up in both. And Hideki Matsuyama is very high in both. 7th strokes gained approach, 3rd strokes gained tee to green. So I thought, right, definitely got to have a look at him. And I was surprised, it's 45-1. I thought that's best price here at Hill, so I really like that. 19th in driving distance, so that's got to be good as well. Maybe there's a thing going on for Asian golfers at the minute. We've had CT Pan at the Heritage, Sung Kang at the Byron Nelson. Don't know if that helps. Thinking, well, hang on, I'm the top boy in Asia. you know, might just spur him on a little bit.
He is 5-2 favourite in that market, by the way, to be the top Asian player
okay,
this week.
Right, nice plug for the side markets. Third at Torrey Pines, we mentioned Pauana, which is good. He's not been pulling up any trees exactly of late. 32nd in the Masters, although he had a terrible start, and I thought he played quite nicely for a large chunk of the Masters after that. 23rd at the Byron Nelson last week. Matt might be a nice sighter. So I just think 45-1 on a very, very classy player with the long game showing such good, you know, numbers in it, can get away with putting a little bit. I thought I'll have that, yes.
Let's just expand on the Pauana thing, because we mentioned it a couple of times on this podcast so far, but not really explained
yes.
what it means. basically, Pauana greens, they get slightly more bumpy than the Bermuda greens do. Bermuda greens tend to be on the east coast
yeah.
of America, in Florida, and Pauana tend to be on the west coast.
Yeah, but there's a slight kind of filter in that, because the thinking is Pauana in California is a lot bumpier than Pauana in New York.
Okay.
Just the way of the climate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I looked at... I was doing that thing where you look at who's won the season, who's in good form. So I looked at Keith Mitchell. And if you type in Keith Mitchell Pauana, the first thing you'll get on Google is Keith Mitchell saying, "I hate Pauana."
Yeah.
And immediately you think, oh, right, that's that scuppered. But you just wonder that this is a kind of more, you know, friendlier form of Pauana.
Yeah.
But that's just a sort of warning on Keith Mitchell for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he is one that stands out, because yeah. Keith Mitchell obviously bounced... back to form.
Yeah, he basically said, "I can't wait to get back to Bermuda."
Yeah, when we got to the Florida yeah. swing.
But whether we'll see how that pans out. But there's yeah. just if you are fearful of the Pauana factor because of California, and these players have got terrible, you know, it's a different coastline. It's a slightly different strain of Pauana, so just a little bit careful.
And
there.
Putting's always important any given week.
Yeah,
On the PGA Tour, if you're going to win, you're going to often need to put very well or definitely above average.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is crucial this week. We've pinpointed a couple of key stats. I don't think you should be necessarily wary of putters that aren't incredible.
No, if you just sort of say, "Oh, they're a bit average putter," well, that might be enough.
Yeah. My second selection, also 45-1.
Oh, right.
Patrick Cantlay is
right,
my second pick. As you mentioned earlier, we talked about Rahm at Augusta finishing a tie for ninth. Patrick Cantlay did. And his performance at Augusta was pretty remarkable, really, because he fired that third round 64 and only birdied one of the four par fives in that 64. And to come out the following week after that and log another top 10 in the Heritage highlights his mental strength. And the Californian now has experience at the top level to contend, in my opinion. And I thought he rated a rock solid each way bet at 45-1. He's always had the game quite clearly, and he's beginning to show it now. He ranks 15th on tour in driving distance. And that's something he's clearly worked on in the off season as well. Really stepped up his game with the driver. He takes an absolute age over the ball.
do you think... I read a book about... There's a book about the majors in 2009. And obviously that was when Bethpage was. They don't have to get a lot of stick. Just hit the ball! Do you think they might get put off?
I'd not thought about that, but perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps that might affect Cantlay. That's not something I'd really factored in, to be honest. But
so just a little devil's advocate
I take that point. 100%.
Because that was a lot of it is based on slow play, where the New York crowd just get so antsy and just start shouting, "Get on with it!"
Right.
We'll see.
That's interesting. That will test him mentally, won't it? I think.
Yeah.
But I'm only willing to wait that long for him to hit the ball if A, he's in contention, and B, I'm on as well.
Yeah.
Because
if you look
that's
at
that's a fair point.
Obviously,
Matsuyama's not quick though, is he?
No, Ricky Fowler's quick though.
Yeah.
So you can go on and on with that, but. It's partly the quickness. It's partly I haven't checked Cantlay's record at Phoenix. Does he even play it? But certainly, you'd expect someone like Patrick Reed. It's no surprise to me Patrick Reed has won in New York, because he will love that atmosphere when you feed off it. So that kind of helps him. So I don't know if the more shrinking violets, because he's pretty much doesn't offer you anything, does he, Patrick Cantlay? He's just sort of
he's
removed
deadpan,
in his own world.
Yeah,
but. Maybe he can block it out if that's the case.
Perhaps, but it's an interesting point. I'm going to point each way on Patrick Cantlay at 45-1, and hopefully either he speeds up or the
Who
crowd...
Did you schmuck?
The crowd don't get on his back too much. But yeah, it's a very fair point on Cantlay at 45-1. Your third and final selection.
I just wanted a sort of biggie just to see if we could land, you know, a nice big each way outsider. So I've gone for someone in form in Scott Piercy.
Yeah.
Now obviously he's...
He'll make a bogey this week, won't he?
He's quite a way down the driving distance stats, which might put some off. But I think there's other things to him. I had a look at strokes gained for PGA winners. And you go through it, and so many of them were banging form tee to green on their previous start. So you've got, I think, five of the last seven had ranked in the top three for strokes gained tee to green on their previous start. Probably all those previous starts were at in the WGC.
Yeah.
So I looked at him, and he was ranked first for that at the Byron Nelson. So he's hitting it great, no doubt about that. Eighth in greens in reg this season. And then his form... Second at the Byron Nelson, third in the Heritage. He played the pairs event in between at the Zurich Classic. Did quite well there, but if you filter that out, second and the third in his last two events. 10th at Pebble Beach on Pauana. So we're sort of building the case here. And then he was 22nd at the Barclays in 2016. So he's gone to that course before and had a decent knock at it.
Yep.
Like I said, he's not a big hitter, but if the other elements of his game are that good at the minute... It might be able to compensate. And I just thought he could be one who sneaks a place. Some, you know, often you look at someone, well, he was in great form. No wonder he sort of snuck into the top 10, or, well, we're going top 7. I think he's good enough to sneak a top 7. Was it one of the... I think it was a US Open. He was right up there a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
So 150s, I just thought, of all those, looking at around that price, I think he had a lot going for him compared to some of the others.
Okay, 150-1, Scott Piercy is Dave's final selection. That brings us to the end of the outright picks for the USPGA Championship. Let's talk through some of the leading contenders before we give our hashtag your odds bets for this week as well. Brooks Koepka is now clear favourite at 10-1. I did a piece to Camry yesterday and I said this guy should be clear favourite, and he wasn't at the time.
Right. So they listened
and he's been cut now 10-1 clear market leader. He's won three of the last eight major championships, Koepka, tuned up nicely at Trinity Forest. There seems to be no reason why he shouldn't contend.
Yeah, I can't give you anything on why he can't contend apart from can a guy win four majors in 23 months? Well... You could have said that kind of guy win three majors in, you know, whatever it was. So, I can't really. If you want to back him, I can't put you off on any
There's
level.
There's not many negatives. He's a lot shorter than he was at the Masters. He went off three times the price for the Masters, didn't he?
Yeah, in hindsight,
Oh, yeah. I know I was kicking myself because he'd not come into the Masters in great nick, but this time he is in good form.
Yeah, and if you read his quotes at Trinity Forest last week, he says, I'm striking it great. So
yeah, and anyone that can guide Chase Koepka to a to a good finish in an event deserves the utmost respect.
So do you think the change in date might just help him as well, slightly?
I don't see many negatives.
I can't think of one, really. Yeah. So it's just that... Well, I'm similar. I can't see many negatives in Dustin Johnson, apart from maybe the fact he's only won one major so far.
Yeah, and maybe he's been a little bit iffy, just in the right in the heat of battle. You know, he's not quite produced, has he, on Sundays in big tournaments recently?
Yeah,
I suppose that's... I'm clutching at straws.
He's got
a little bit.
Good record in the sort of New York area.
Yeah, and he puts well on Pauana as well.
Yeah, hits it a mile.
Yeah,
it's the one doubt which you haven't got with Koepka, I guess, is DJ's kind of mental fragility. I just think that there'll come another major, I think, where he might win it by a distance.
I'd rather back Koepka at 10s than DJ at 11s,
right,
personally.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I've got a slight leaning for DJ.
Rory McIlroy 12-1, not won a major championship since 2014, but you think of his major championship wins, long, soft golf courses, and he's got one to feast on this week.
He has, and I did a little bit of research based on whether the move might help anybody, I think it helps Fowler. Fowler's got two of his wins in May. I did a chart of McIlroy's wins, and his most winningest month was May with 5.
Okay.
So does that help, maybe? The theory behind that, right, is it might just be the events in May that suit him, but is there an element of kind of, at least the Masters is out of the way, I don't have to think about it, because that does get in his head, the Masters.
It does.
There might be an element of relief,
yeah,
and just freeing him up in May, possibly.
He had a chance at Quail Hollow, though, didn't he? That looked to be set up perfectly for
yeah.
him.
To me, it looks like he's peaked at Sawgrass, and he's just come down from that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he played a lot of great golf at the start of the year, but I just think this tournament coincides with him on a little bit of a down curve, so not for me this week.
What about Tiger Woods at 12-1? I've got a couple of concerns with Tiger Woods at that sort of price. One's the weather. I think that's... It's going to be cold, isn't it?
It's 50s. All those with bad backs will not like the weather forecast.
Yeah, and I think that's an issue for Tiger.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
You see Tiger in these promotional videos when he's doing work for his new golf.com channel.
Golf TV.
Yeah. And he's walking gingerly. and you just think about 50 degree Fahrenheit when the sun was on his back at Augusta, gets warmed up, likes those hot, humid conditions, long golf course, going to have to hit driver a lot. At Best Page, 12-1, bad back.
So for him, yeah, maybe the changing date's gone the other way.
I think he's won the USPGA, hasn't he, three times in
hot weather.
Yeah.
Remember him winning at Valhalla when it's just nice and hot. And yeah, it's a thing. It's a real, you know, beyond the numbers.
It's a real concern for me, the temperature for Tiger. I think it's something Nick Faldo's commented on as well in the lead up to the championship, how he wonders whether Tiger's going to cope with the temperatures in... at this time of year in New York, so one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Any others you want to mention at the top of the betting? Justin Rose 20-1, Jason Day 22-1.
Justin Rose hasn't got a very good course record, has he? For some reason, or you think he should have, but he hasn't.
Yeah.
So whether it just doesn't quite fit him. Yeah, Jason Day. You always have that little thing. What is he going to like? Catch flu or something? Break his leg in the build-up.
He's one of those where you're looking at like real. Top quality course form on correlating courses.
Yeah.
He's the one that leaps out and putting on Poana. He's number one in strokes gain putting on Poana, isn't he, as well?
Yeah,
so,
you could bill him alongside some of the other top guns, and yet he's down at 22s when he maybe should be.
But I don't think he's playing as well as some of the others.
Yeah,
up
I
towards
guess so.
The top of the betting.
Yeah. Molinari, do you think Augusta will have knocked him back a lot?
Could do. 28-1. A lot of people have said to me, why is Francesco Molinari 28-1?
Yeah.
Given what he's done in major championships recently.
Yeah.
And it's,
Second in this last year.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that point.
The one a little bit further down who I really like is Xander Schauffele, because he's a bomber. He hits it a long way. He's at 30 odd in driving distance.
Yeah.
And he's just, well, if you take the angle, you're looking for big hitting Americans. Which obviously we've quite put up. You've gone for Cantlay, big hitting American. I've gone for Ricky Fowler. You like Koepka, I like DJ. Two big hitting Americans. If you really sort of boil it down to something simple, a big hitting American who plays well in the majors, you'd have to say Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau would enter equations.
Yes. 30-1 and 35-1 respectively.
Yeah, and with Finau, that thing as well, Poana, he's better, isn't he, on that Poana bent than he is. And obviously most of the majors are on that grass, which helps him. So that maybe that's why he's got such a good record in it. So definitely look at those two as well. But one other I was going to ask you about with best price as well, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, 40-1. I'm just not sure where he's at with his game at the moment.
Yeah,
DeChambeau.
Because if you're just looking at kind of how many wins that he's racked up, and you didn't follow it every week like we do, so you sort of. You create these little doubts. Very simplifying it. 40-1's quite big, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a bit of a winning machine. We've got to world number 5.
I think just going through the betting there, it just shows you how...
Yeah, we can keep going on. He's got a good
chance. This major is, and you've just got to... I suppose you're going with instinct a lot of the time. Who do you think fits best and who do you think is going to go well this week? And then you sort of engineer your argument...
yeah, exactly.
to your instinct a
yeah.
little bit.
One final mention yep. for someone I can't quite work out, Henrik Stenson, because his tee to green numbers are superb.
Do you think he might have to hit the driver a bit too often?
Possibly. I know he does that out of his comfort zone. He likes the 3-wood, but he does yeah. get that 3-wood out there.
Yeah, he played decently last week as yeah. well. 66-1, Henrik Stenson. Okay, let's talk about the hashtag your odds market then. We've got no bets in the actual, you know, the standard supporting markets, your top American, top
yeah,
European.
You had a look at Justin Harding
yeah,
just because he keeps being...
Just because he keeps out...
Being
yeah,
underestimated.
He's outperforming his odds, isn't he?
Yeah.
Every week. He's 4-1 to be top South African. That kind of stood out. I think the golf course should suit him, and you're not entirely sure what you're going to get from Louis Oosthuizen.
No, yeah.
Even though he's got a decent major record. And
Brandon Grace.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is an ideal trap for Brandon Grace, personally.
Yeah.
So he was one that I had a look at, 4-1 in the top South African market. I know you had a little look at the top European betting as well.
Yeah, just one who I think's bigger odds than he should be is Poulter, because his form this year is, I think, one of the biggest surprises for me was looking in the top 10 in ball striking. Ian Poulter's in there.
Yeah.
That's kind of where people sort of laugh at him, isn't it? Say, oh, he's a terrible ball striker.
It's testament to his mental resolve and getting the absolute most out of your ability that he ranks that highly in ball striking.
So he's got that to his name. He played well there in the 2009 US Open, got a top 20 when it was wet.
Yeah,
so many top 20s in the Masters, three of them top 10s, where again you'd say it's too long for him. And that other X factor element, I think he'll love playing in front of these crowds as well. That, you know, it's, even if he gets loads of abuse, I think he's so used to it, isn't he? That's almost perfect. You'd almost, if you were a Poulter fan, you'd hire some people to shout at him, rile him, because he's one who thrives. So I thought he could be the slightly surprise package, although in some ways it shouldn't be a surprise because of his form. Form this year is fantastic.
Yeah. By the way, we are a fifth the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 this week if you're betting on the US PGA Championship. Let's talk about hashtag your odds then, because this was a successful market for us in the Masters with that 12-1 shot landing. And it took a while for the compilers to resurrect this on the back of that as well, given so many people back that hashtag your odds at 12s. We've come up with one each.
What's a slight
there was a bit of confusion. Yeah, a bit of confusion in this, because I was messaging last night about this, and because we usually combine one, don't we?
Yes.
And which this time we've not combined.
So I
one.
Thought one each literally meant one pick each, which kind
goes,
of like a,
what, goes together in
what a
to
human
create.
Being might understand one each to mean.
That's not what I meant.
But Dave actually meant two.
Yeah, two.
Two,
so,
two each.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to lead off?
Yeah, I'll do mine first.
Okay.
So two elements to this bet. Element is another word Dave could have used to distinguish what he meant. So two players I like that I'm going to combine in a hashtag your odds. Sergio Garcia, brilliant form at the course, 3rd, 4th, and 10th in his 3 knocks there. Great ball striker, playing really well, really good at Quail Hollow, which we like.
Yeah.
Forget the Masters. I think he's used up his Masters kind of, you know, good luck, whatever it is. Because since he's gone back there, he's bombed, hasn't he, since his 2 wins. So. Yeah. Overall, his form is really good. So I like him for a top 10. That's something he's achieved every time he's played this course.
Yeah.
Then the other one, another guy who's got very special memories of this course, Lucas Glover. I can just see him going back there and remembering it all, and it's wet, and it's just like it was. And he's played a lot of good golf this year. I won't go too kind of bullish on him, but I think a top 20 for Lucas Glover, given how we've seen him play this year, is very, very doable.
Okay. Top 20 for Lucas Glover, top 10 for Sergio Garcia. That's a 20-1 shot in the hashtag your odds section. Sergio Garcia's record in major championships since his win at the Masters is frighteningly bad, really. I mean, he missed his last 6 cuts in majors.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy,
but
isn't it?
It will turn, so you're hoping it will.
Yeah, it's got to turn.
If there's a course it might turn on, I think this is a great chance for
true.
It.
True. We've mentioned Quail Hollow about 100 times in this podcast, yes. I'm aware, but it's often been a good guide to this major. And my two in the combined for the hashtag Your
Max
odds.
Homer and Derek Ernst.
Not quite, almost there. Both finished tied eighth at the Wells Fargo. I'm going Johnny Vegas and Kyle Stanley both to finish in the top 20.
Yeah.
Johnny Vegas has actually been quite well tipped in some quarters for this major championship. He's not had that many major chances, and he's not really blossomed when he has had the chance in the top events, but he's played well in some decent tournaments this season. Iconic moment came when he held that putt on the 17th at Sawgrass across the green, and that saw him finish in a tie for third. He's also finished tied 16th at the Honda, tied 23rd at the Arnold Palmer, and he's one of the longest hitters in the field, so I think a top 20 is well within reach for Johnny Vegas. Kyle Stanley, admittedly, a bit more of a flyer. His overall stats this season aren't tremendous, but he's a brilliant ball striker when he's at his best, and his form picked up with a tie for 21st at the Masters, followed by a tie for 8th at the Wells Fargo. Approach play and putting were spot on in Carolina as well, so I'm hoping that he can go well. So top 20 and ties, Johnny Vegas and Kyle Stanley, and that's 28-1, and that will be in the hashtag Your Odds section.
Yeah.
So there you go, a couple of hashtag Your Odds. If you want to get involved with the hashtag Your Odds as well, you can do. Just tweet using that hashtag Your Odds to at William Hill. You'll see loads of them on there already. We've posted like any player you want to have a bogey-free second round, and it just shows you how difficult the compilers are expecting the golf course to play, given that John Rahm to have a bogey-free second round, for instance, is 25-1.
Wow.
So we're expecting some pretty big numbers this week, I think.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way.
What do you think the winning total's going to be if you had,
I've had to change
ballpark it?
Yeah, to begin with, I thought, well, players are just too good and it'll be double digits under par. I'm not so sure now.
No.
I think it might be.
From everything I've read, it suggests single figures is going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the weather gets all right for the tournament, doesn't it, in terms of no more rain, but it's still chilly, isn't it? So the ball's not flying far.
We didn't really talk about that at the top when we were talking about length off the tee as well, and you were saying, is it really a long golf course? But that weather, if it's like 50 degree Fahrenheit, the ball's not going to travel.
It's like when they play
at
Sun City when it's about 7,900 yards because it's at altitude and hot.
Yeah, the ball flies.
It's
not going to happen like that this week, I don't think.
No, I think it's going to be a long old course. I mean, if you look at the breakdown of some of the pars, is it three of the par threes are over 200 yards?
Yeah.
So they're no gimmies.
And those par fours are going to be
long par fours, 450 pluses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a right old test.
Okay, let's recap the selections for this week then. Dave, you've got three picks in the outright market.
Yeah, so I will go Ricky Fowler's my nap at 22-1, a point and a half each way. I'll have a point each way on Hideki Matsuyama at 45-1. And then I'll have just half a point each way on Scott Piercy at 150.
And your hashtag Your Odds?
Yeah, so that's going to be Sergio Garcia for a top 10. And it's going to be Lucas Glover for a top 20. That comes out at 20-1.
Yeah, and that includes the ties as well. I'm going 2 points each way on John Rahm at 18-1, a point each way on Patrick Cantlay at 45-1, and a point on the hashtag Your Odds 28-1. Vegas and Stanley, top 20 in ties here with William Hill. Dave, it's been my pleasure as usual.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to this week. It's
even though it just feels like a bog-standard WGC to you.
But I like those as well.
You like any golf, don't you?
Well, we've got... Is it all of the top 100 in the world are playing?
Apart from Justin Thomas.
That's withdrawn gone, isn't it? Yeah.
With a wrist problem.
Yeah.
Knocked him out of action for longer than anticipated, hasn't it? Given it's just a... He said it's just a bruised wrist, but because he's got a long career ahead of him, he doesn't want to risk it. But he was in the field to play at the Wells Fargo and then had to withdraw there and late withdrawal at the PGA as well.
You wonder if he'll play in the other two majors. He might just think...
He's not talking like it's that severe, but we'll see.
If it was iffy and he was thinking, do I come over for the Open, it might... where he struggled, I don't know. Mm. But yeah, it's a shame because a fit Justin Thomas would have being very much on the radar, wouldn't he, this week?
Absolutely, absolutely. Dave, thank you. And if you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can do at Dave Tyndall Golf. You can follow myself at D Kellner, and make sure you check out all the betting for the USPGA Championship on the William Hill website and on the app. And myself and Dave will be back with a debrief next week and a look ahead to more golf as well here with William Hill. Thank you for your company, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.